Thanks, Lindsay. It's good to be back here in Bethany. It's been a wee while since I've had the chance to come and share something with you. I think Steve has been on the phone quite a few times in the last few months, but with different commitments with being at Tilsley College meant that I couldn't make it. But I'm here today and it's good to be back, and I thank you for this chance to come and share something from the Bible this morning. Just as I was thinking about coming, there was a verse which came to my mind, which says, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them." You find that in Romans 8, chapter 28. And I'm sure most of you will have heard this verse, perhaps many times. And just this morning, I'd like to think about the whole idea of, do you believe what the Bible says? All things work together for good. Do you really believe that God can turn circumstances around? This morning I'd like to look at the life of Joseph, which we read about in the in Genesis in the Old Testament. And I think Joseph is a brilliant story. Although quite often I find a lot of the great stories that we read about in the Old Testament, sometimes we only ever hear about them in Sunday school, and we don't often look at them as adults. But there's so much that we can take from stories like Joseph, so much encouragement and comfort as we consider what life is all about. And this morning you've probably heard about Joseph and you probably know the story off by heart. But this morning I would just ask you to try and think about things afresh and keep in mind today that what we read about in the Bible, that actually happened. Sometimes, personally, I don't always appreciate the fact that this was a real life. And as we move through the story, we're going to try and take the big picture of what happened in Joseph's life. Think afresh. Try and think, how would you feel at this point in time? How would you react if you were put in the position that Joseph was put in? We meet Joseph in Genesis chapter 37. And we find that Joseph is a man who was brought up in a large family. There was 12 sons in this family, and Joseph was his father's favourite son. And because of this, he got lots of special treatment, and the most famous of which is the fancy multicolored coat, or as the musical puts it, the amazing technicolor dream coat. But Joseph's brothers hated him. And I wonder, how would you feel growing up in that environment? I mean, yeah, you get special treatment off your dad, but growing up where your brothers wish you were dead, that would be a tremendous struggle. I've got three brothers. I'm the second oldest of four sons, and I can remember many times where my three brothers would gang up on me, and I can tell you that it's not a pleasant situation to be in. And Joseph, though, he didn't make things easy for himself when he started to have dreams. And we'll just break into Genesis 37, verse 5, which says, "Now Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, 'Hear this dream that I have dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And behold, your sheaves gathered round it and bowed down to my sheaf.' His brothers said to him, 'Are you indeed to reign over us? Or are you indeed to rule over us?' So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed another dream and told it to his brothers and said, 'Behold, I have dreamed another dream. Behold, the sun, the moon, and 11 stars were bowing down to me.' But when he told it to his father and to his brothers, his father rebuked him and said to him, 'What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall I, your mother, and your brothers indeed come to bow ourselves to the ground before you?' And his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the saying in mind." Joseph didn't make things easy for himself. Perhaps he was being a bit naive, and perhaps there was a big element of Joseph winding his big brothers up here. And I'm sure if you've got brothers or sisters, you've been in that position where you've just been niggling away and trying to annoy them. But it must have been a terrible situation to grow up with family that hates you. And as we move through the chapter, we see that the hatred grew to the point where his brothers were willing to kill Joseph. His father had sent the brothers away, a distance away with the family sheep, probably, I reckon, to find good pasture at that point in time. And one day Joseph was sent to go and check up on them to see how they were doing. And his brothers saw him coming. And away in the distance, they thought, you know what, we're going to kill him this time. And they had this great plan to say that it was a wild animal that had killed Joseph. But it was only because one of the brothers, Reuben, felt a bit guilty that Joseph was saved. Well, these brothers had another plan. And it says in verse 25 of chapter 37, "Then they sat down to eat, and looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead, with their camels bearing gum, balm, and myrrh, on their way to carry it down to Egypt. Then Judah said to his brothers, 'What profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother, our own flesh.' And his brothers listened to him. Then Midianite traders passed by, and they drew Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. They took Joseph to Egypt." This is an absolutely terrible situation for Joseph to find himself in. Try and picture that in your mind. Try and put yourself in Joseph's shoes. How would you feel at this point? A young guy is sold by his own brothers to be a slave, and then he's carted off hundreds and hundreds of miles away to a foreign country. Can any good come from a situation like this? As we move on to chapter 39, we find Joseph in Egypt. And just breaking in at verse 1, it says, "Now Joseph had been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him, and he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was in all that he had, in house and field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge, and because of him he had no concern about anything but the food he ate." I find it a tremendous challenge that despite what had happened to Joseph, he was still keen and eager to live for God. Despite the trial that he was going through, this man that had been taken against his will, he was still living for God, and it was still evident that God was with Joseph. For me, that's a great challenge. I know many people and many Christians who, when they hit troubled times and struggles, they quickly give up on their faith. But Joseph kept going, and that to me is a huge encouragement, but also something which would challenge me. But unfortunately, as we continue along the story, we see that trouble wasn't far away. That's what characterizes the life of Joseph at this point. And as we continue reading from verse 7, it says, "Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, 'Lie with me.' But he refused and said to his master's wife, 'Behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house, and he has put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except yourself, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?' And as she spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not listen to her, to lie beside her, or to be with her. But one day, when he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house were there in the house, She caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out of the house. And as soon as she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and had fled out of the house, she called out to the men of her household and said to them, "See, he has brought among us a Hebrew to laugh at us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And as soon as he heard that, I lifted up my voice and cried out. He left his garment beside me and fled and got out of the house." Then she laid up his garment by her until his master came home. Joseph was trying his best to live for God in this situation. And yet we find him accused of doing wrong. He was accused of something that he didn't do. Joseph was trying his best to keep God as the number one thing in his life. And yet it seems he's been punished for this. It took great strength of character for this man to resist the temptation to have this affair with this woman. But Joseph kept God in mind. Sometimes our life doesn't treat us fairly. Like Joseph, perhaps you can all think of times in your life where you've been trying to live for God, and yet bad things happen, and it seems almost like you've been punished for trying to live a good life. Now, as we continue the story, we see that Joseph was arrested and put in jail, and we have this amazing and great fall. This young man that had been living with his father and was his favourite son now finds himself in prison in a foreign country for a crime that he didn't do. How would you feel at this point in time? How would you react if you were Joseph? Now, despite all that had happened, it was still obvious that Joseph still wanted to live for God. And as we read from verse 21 of chapter 39, it says, "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favour in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all of the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed." Again, we find that despite everything, Joseph is living for God. He still keeps God in mind despite all of the challenges and trials that had happened. That's truly amazing when you consider all that had gone on. But in this situation, how can we see any good coming from it? This young guy in a foreign country, in prison. I don't know how long he was in jail for. The Bible says after some time, two men were also put in jail. And both these men worked for the Pharaoh. One was the chief baker, and the other was the cupbearer, or butler if you'd prefer that term. And these two men are thrown in jail, and Joseph gets to know them. And then one night, both these men have a dream. And it turns out that Joseph's the only person that can interpret what these dreams mean. For the cupbearer, the news is good. And his dream means that after 3 days, he's going to be released, and he's going to be able to continue his job with Pharaoh. For the baker, the news isn't so good. And he's told that in 3 days, he's going to be executed for whatever he'd done. But Joseph says to the cupbearer that when he gets released, can you keep me in mind? Can you tell Pharaoh that I'm in this jail, that I haven't done these crimes? Can you please remember me so that I can be released soon? But we're told that the cupbearer quickly forgot about Joseph. Again, trying to think about how you would have felt at this point. You would have been so excited about this opportunity to be released. You had this opportunity to have your case seen by Pharaoh, and yet he's left hanging and waiting in this prison. He's just in limbo. How do you think he would have felt? For 2 years, every day you're waiting on the news of getting out, but nothing comes. Can good come from such a situation? As we continue in the life of Joseph, though, we read that one night the Pharaoh has a couple of dreams, and he calls together all of his magicians and all the wise men in Egypt, but nobody can interpret these dreams. And it's only then that something is triggered in the mind of the cupbearer, and he says, "Oh, wait a minute, I know this guy, Joseph, that's in the prison. He interpreted my dream, and I'm sure he can do the same for you." And as we move into chapter 41, Joseph finally gets his chance to meet with Pharaoh. And we'll just read from verse 14 of chapter 41. "Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they quickly brought him out of the pit. And when he had shaved himself and changed his clothes, he came in before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'I have had a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it. I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it.' Joseph answered, 'Pharaoh, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer.'" Again, I find this a remarkable statement for Joseph to make. If I was in this position, I reckon that there would have been a temptation for me to try and make myself look as good as possible in front of Pharaoh. But instead, Joseph is still given all of the credit to God. Would the same be said of us in this position? You know, Joseph could have come and said, I'll interpret this. I'll tell you what it means because I'm brilliant. But instead he says, no, God's in charge. Joseph gives God all the glory. And of course, Pharaoh was impressed. As he saw this man trying to live for God, the story continues that the dreams were a warning to Pharaoh. 7 years in Egypt, there's going to be bumper harvests. They're going to want for nothing. The crops are just going to be plentiful. But then following on from that, there's going to be 7 years of severe famine. This is what God was warning Pharaoh about. And Joseph instructs Pharaoh that they need to start storing up food so that they can survive over these 7 years that will come in the future. And as we break in at verse 37 of chapter 41, it says, "This proposal pleased Pharaoh and all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, 'Can we find a man like this, in whom is the Spirit of God?' Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'Since God has shown you all this, there is none so discerning and wise as you are. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall order themselves as you command. Only as regards to the throne will I be greater than you.' And Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'See, I have set you over all the land of Egypt.' Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, and clothed him in garments of fine linen, and put a gold chain around his neck. And he made him ride in his second chariot. They called out before him, 'Bow the knee.' Thus he set him over all the land of Egypt." Finally, it seems like things are looking up for Joseph. Seems like things have perhaps come full circle in terms of him being in this high position at home and then having all these struggles, but then being restored to a great position in Egypt. But we find out as the story continues that there was a much bigger plan at play than just what was going on in Joseph's life. The famine that was affecting Egypt had spread through all the nations in the surrounding area. That included back home in Israel. And one day, Joseph's brothers come to meet with him because they need to buy food to take home. Joseph recognizes his brothers right away, but his brothers don't recognize him. They actually thought that Joseph was dead. There must have been a great temptation at this point for Joseph to take revenge on his brothers for all those years of hardship and struggle. And yet what we have is an amazing act of forgiveness. And Joseph just doesn't forgive his brothers, but invites them and his father and all their families to come and live in Egypt and to have these great lives instead of struggling back at home. It's an amazing turnaround. Then I don't know if I would have reacted in the same way. How do you think you would have reacted? Would you have been as forgiven as Joseph was? And as things continue, there was 17 years where Joseph's family lived in Egypt. Then one day, Jacob, the father, dies, and Joseph's brothers come and meet with him because suddenly they've become afraid again. And they come and say, "What's going on here? You know, is he going to kill us now?" Was the whole idea of him forgiven is just a show that he put on so that Jacob wouldn't be upset? And they come and meet with Joseph. And as we move on to chapter 50 of Genesis, we read verses 18 onwards. It says, "His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, 'Behold, we are your servants.' But Joseph said to them, 'Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant it evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear, I will provide for you and your little ones.' Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them." It's a great statement that he makes here. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Joseph was able to see the big picture that was at play. He was able to see that it wasn't just about him. You know, so often we can become caught up in our own circumstances and our own situations, and we don't see what's happening around us as a result of what's going on. But Joseph could see that because of all the troubles and trials that he'd went through, he was in a position where his family and God's chosen people could be saved from being killed because of this great famine. So often, it must have seemed like a hopeless situation that he was in. But ultimately, God can work through all circumstances. It's just amazing. There's been many situations in my life where things seem hopeless. I grew up in a family, and when I was 15, my dad left us and my parents got divorced. That was in September 2000. And for years, things just seemed to go round in one big circle at home. There would be constant arguments and fights, and there'd be worries about money and all sorts of things. That just went on and on and on, and it seemed like there was no end to it. But God has been with me through it all. God doesn't cause people to do wrong, but when people do wrong things, like they did to Joseph, God can turn those circumstances round and bring about amazing things. He can do huge things despite what other people do to us. Something I'd like to leave with you: when you find yourself in times when you're struggling, perhaps you're going through something right at this point in time, keep your eyes focused on God. That's what Joseph did through everything. Despite everything that had happened, God was with him, and people could see that. And even when things just got worse and worse and worse, he kept going for God. So often people give up. When people are hit with struggles, they just think, "Oh, stuff it, I'm not going to follow God anymore." Please don't do that. I can say from my life, all of the struggles I've been through, the one thing that's been constant has been God. And knowing that God is in control has got me through so much, and knowing God's comfort. Sometimes we don't understand why things happen. And I'm sure many of you knew that. This time last year, I was still studying to become a vet, and I was only 1 year away from finishing that degree, 1 year away from qualifying, but certain circumstances meant that I wasn't allowed to finish the degree. I'm not going to get into the circumstances why, but sometimes you don't understand why certain things happen. But who knows what God's plan is? All I know is that God is in control. God has a plan for me. God has a plan for all of you. And despite what happens, keep your eyes fixed on God. When things go wrong, look up. When things are good, look up. But remember who's in control. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this chance that you've given us all to meet together this morning. I just pray that you would help us all to keep in mind many of the great stories that we read about in your word. We thank you for the encouragement and the comfort that we can take when we see that through everything you were with Joseph. We thank you that you have a plan and a purpose for us all. And Lord, I pray for everybody gathered in this room just now. Lord, wherever they are, I would just ask that you would meet with them and encourage them and comfort them. Lord, some people may be going through trials at this point in time. I just pray that you would help them to look up to you. And Lord, wherever we would all find ourselves, help us to keep going. Help us to keep trusting that you are in control. And Lord, we just ask that you would all help us to draw ourselves into a deeper relationship with you. We just thank you for this time that we've had together. And just pray that you would take us home safely now. In Jesus' name.